Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Tuning the Bow. I did the first episode and hated being alone, so I have now got a co-host. It's my good friend, Tim Rose. Tim, why don't you introduce yourself for just a little bit?
So, my name's Tim Rose, as Matt already said. I am the youth pastor over at First Baptist of Odessa. Been here for about a year and a half, been in youth ministry, around youth ministry for the past 8 or 9 years now. Married to my lovely wife, Mary, and we have twin boys, Eli and Silas, who are 9 months old, and I knew that relatively quickly. just absolutely in my position, I get to love on students, but then I also get to love on parents. One of my passions in student ministry is to equip parents to be the lead disciplers of their kids. And then to be able as the youth pastor to kind of step in and be the second place and give them different thoughts and different passages to look at and things like that. So I was happy to be on, happy to be with you. Of course, Matt, you and I have been friends for what, 8, 9 years now, something like that.
Quite a while.
It's been a minute. So happy to do a podcast with you for sure.
Oh yeah. Last week we talked about the importance of reading scripture with your kids, doing it as a family. And this week, we're going to discuss something sort of along those lines, to where we're still going to want you to integrate scripture into your daily interaction with your kids, but more specifically, there's like an overarching way that we want to do that. And so, Tim, why don't you introduce the concept?
Yeah, the concept's, you know, it's pretty simple, and it's encouraging you as a parent to select a family verse or a family mission statement. Now, you can select both. You could have one or the other. You could have a mission statement that just comes from the verse. But the idea behind it is simply that, you know, you want something kind of guiding your family, something for them to understand that really shows your kids, this is who we want you to be. And having a verse to do that is a very simple way. It's they can memorize it and then have that be kind of the way that you move them through life, is that they understand, hey, this is what you're about as a believer. This is what our expectations for you are as parents. And it also gives you as a parent that when you have times of discipline and times of needing to encourage your kids, that you can encourage them back to that sort of verse. So that's the whole idea. Of course, as Matt talked about last week in teaching through scriptures with your kids, you would want to teach on this scripture pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. But you want this scripture to not just be something you would teach on regularly, but something that's going to come up in their lives regularly. Something that's going to just kind of reign supreme. And there may be some different scriptures during different times, but I would encourage you to have one that, hey, this is what our whole family is going to be circled around. And then individually encourage your kids with other scriptures as they need them. So that's kind of the idea. It is a family verse.
Yeah. And to add on to that, if it becomes something like a mission statement, a lot of times mission statements can be pretty wordy. And especially, you know, with parents of younger kids, or I mean, in your case, you know, not even 1 year old yet, as you begin to grow your family into, you know, establishing them in scripture, you know, scripture kind of gives us a better opportunity because it's something they can always go back to. But with the mission statement, that's not, you know, something else outside of, you know, a Bible verse or Bible passage, it could be a little difficult to remember. Mm-hmm. And so with the value of scripture is it's always so accessible. Like I know for me right now, I have my Bible open as we're about to go through a couple passages. And Tim, you've got some Bible software open on your computer.
Yep.
And so the scripture is just so accessible that having your family kind of based around a verse or a passage found in scripture, I think is a little bit more beneficial.
Agreed for sure.
Yep. So this might not shock anyone, But the first passage we're going to go back to is Deuteronomy chapter 6, because, of course, we talked about it last week a little bit.
It almost seems like everything with good biblical parenting can go back to Deuteronomy 6.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's almost like, you know, our Lord Jesus, whenever he was in the desert being tempted, he went back to the book of Deuteronomy.
And it's almost like he said there were two great commands, and one of them is found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter
6. Oh, my gosh, dude, you're blowing my mind. Yeah, so again, back to Deuteronomy 6, just the little things that you can really bring up. I kind of hit on it last week, but we're going to go a little bit more into it, looking at verses 7 through 9.
Yeah.
And so, Tim, would you like to read it?
Yeah, sure. I'm gonna take just a running start and start on verse 6. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Verse 7. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates.
Mm. Now, Tim, does this mean that right now I have to go and bind them on a sign as a sign on my hand, and go write them on every single doorpost and wall, and even throw one outside of my door?
Well, I hope not right now, because we're trying to make a podcast.
Fair enough.
No, I think the idea here is pretty simple. It's that you want the words of the Lord to be something that are surrounding your children. You want them to physically see them. You know, when we think about the way that kids learn, by the way, you know, we want to speak truth to them, but because many kids are visual learners, we also want them to see truth. Mm-hmm. We want them to see things. And I think some of these are actually really practical, if not all of them are really practical. For instance, for us, and I'm sure we can talk about this a little more later, but like for our family verse is Micah 6:8. And we have that legitimately, you know, on our wall. We have it made into this sign, so that our kids, even as they're 9 months old, they can already see that. As they grow older, they'll see it, and then we'll talk about it more, and they'll be able to say, okay, yeah, that's what we're all about, is that verse. And so I think there's, you know, God's word has this great ability to be insanely practical and make a whole lot of sense when 21st century understanding goes on top of it. And yet still be true back then as well. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of those times where it's like, now that we sit here in the 21st century and learn that kids learn by sight, by hearing, by touching, all of these are shown in this passage. That's how he says to do it. And I think it's really important as well in verse 7. He says, you know, to talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. You know, your kids ought to be hearing scripture the first thing when they get up in the day, and they ought to be hearing God's word the last thing when they go to bed at night. Mm-hmm. We want this to be something that surrounds their life as they grow up. Because as you and I both know, as youth pastors, by the time they're 16, 17, 18 years old, many decisions of their life are already made.
Yep.
And those decisions could have been drastically changed had they been surrounded by scripture their entire upbringing.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that we've both experienced, you know, for me and my family, and for you, you've seen this in your students, that, you know, even though parents, that you might raise your kids in a godly home and do everything you're supposed to, the decision of salvation lies solely on the individual. Mm-hmm. Please don't hear us saying that, you know, all you have to do is these simple steps and your kid will be saved by next week. That's not the case. I have plenty of family members that have wonderful, godly parents that have raised them in a godly home, and they want nothing to do with him. And so what we have to do then is just be faithful, because God, again, God sees that. He recognizes that, and he blesses homes that are faithful to him. He doesn't necessarily, you know, give us everything we desire, but we see so many good things come out of families that love the Lord and teach it to their kids.
Yeah. And you know, there's a reason that we take kids to things like youth camp and to Disciple Nows. It's because oftentimes students are able to silence their hearts and listen to God mm-hmm. whenever they're in a culture that's already listening to God. And so what we want to do as parents is create that culture in our homes. Because, you know, Matt, I think I would speak for you on this. You can argue and we can have a, you know, hilarious fight about this on a podcast. But if I were a student pastor and I had 150 students that I took to camp, but all 150, their parents had already walked them through the gospel and they had gotten saved in their own home, I would not be an upset youth pastor. I'd be very happy and I'd be saying, okay, then let me disciple you. Let me get you to a point where you're starting to share your faith with others, which yet again would still be helped by a parent who had created a culture that does that in the home. But, you know, it's as much as I love to see students saved, I also really love to see students raised in godly homes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're right. That doesn't secure salvation. That's still a decision of their heart that they're going to make. But we know there are ways of creating an atmosphere for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And too often homes, even godly homes, are they're walking around aimlessly. The parents are parenting based on what they like or what annoys them. And they're not really saying, okay, what is it that I want my kid to become?
Right.
You know,
right.
We don't ask that question. We say, oh, well, I want them to, you know, be successful. And then, you know, I mean, I already understand. I want my kids to have grandkids. Cause it sure seems like having grandkids is a lot less taxing than having kids. but like, we don't really say, okay, what do I want them to be? You know, when we looked at it as a couple, my wife and I, we looked at Micah 6:8 and we saw the verb categories in there. And we said, yeah, we want our kids to be those kids. We want our kids to live justly. We want them to love mercy, to love faithfulness. And we want them to walk humbly with God. Like, yep, yep. Regardless of what job they have, that's our goal. If we've created kids that are those three things, that they can be marked by those three things, then we feel like we've succeeded as parents. Mm-hmm. And that gives us an aim to parent to, rather than just walking through the wilderness, to use biblical terminology, and waiting to see what's going to happen. We right. actually have a goal.
Right. And our job is to not make sure that you parents raise your kids so that they can be, you know, youth pastors or senior pastors or anything like that. No, we just want to make sure that you raise kids that love the Lord, and whatever they do, whatever their vocation is, that is how they, you know, glorify God through doing the things that they love, doing what they're supposed to do, but also doing it with a heart that loves God.
Yeah. I mean, if you're stuck in a dark room, you don't need a youth pastor there. You need an electrician. Mm-hmm. But if you're stuck in a dark room and the person with you is lost, an electrician who loves the Lord can actually fix both of those problems.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we don't want them to become youth pastors. I mean, I think we would both say we have fun being youth pastors.
But it's just not for everyone.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. If your kid cannot stop eating pizza, even when they're in their mid-20s, then maybe youth pastor is for them. But
yep.
If they have regular taste buds and desires, yeah, it's probably not.
Well, you mentioned your little, your family verse. Mine for Will Banks' Party of One, it changes all the time because, I mean, it changes for what I need to know, what sort of truth I need to experience in a deeper way. And for right now, what I have written on a little dry erase board on my refrigerator is 2 Corinthians 4:16, where it says, therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. And it's, again, it goes back to that issue of Deuteronomy 6, repeat them to your children, talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, all these things that when we are in scripture and we have these family verses that we teach to our kids all the time, then that kind of becomes the environment that we create, that our inner person is being renewed every single day.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I'm a big believer in culture. We talk about it with our youth leaders in the youth group, because I think, you know, it's not just that, oh, I want people to be kind and polite, but culture promotes ideas. It promotes thought. Mm-hmm. And you're going to think based on where you are. And, you know, I think each one of us, as we grow up, we see things our parents do, and we have many that we agree with. We have some that we disagree with, and they teach us either way. Mm-hmm. Your kids are going to do that. They're going to learn from your mistakes, and they're going to learn from what you've done well. We're going to want to encourage you on what to do well. We're not going to encourage you on the mistakes part. You'll find the mistakes by yourself.
Yep.
But like for me, as I look at how do I want to raise my kids and where do I want them to go? A lot of what I'm thinking is, okay, where can I lead them directly back to God's word? Regardless of if this is a mistake I've made or something I've done well, where can I lead them back to God's word so that they can actually understand where the truth is? Because we don't want, as parents, we don't want our kids assuming that every action mom and dad does is the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, those are two separate concepts. I want my kids to think that, hey, dad's generally a good guy. Dad generally does what's right. I'm not going to call out dad. I can come to him and ask for forgiveness if he's done something wrong. But I don't want them equating me with truth, because that becomes detrimental in their ability to really understand God's word later as it goes on in life. Because even, yes, as a youth pastor, I still make mistakes. It happens every once in a while. It's amazing. But the difference, I think, between parents who are, you know, moving their kids in a godly direction and parents who are really just kind of going about parenting, is the ones who are moving their kids in a godly direction have already introduced them to God's truth, the word, and then they don't have to sit here and really kind of tear down their kids' understanding of life. They can say, hey, mom and dad, just like you, have fallen short of God's glory, Romans 3:23. We've fallen short. We sinned. Here's where mom and dad sinned. We're really sorry for showing you a bad example. Now let's move forward. And let's get back to, and then that's where really, like I said, the family verse can go in, is that's the thing that you can immediately then go back to. And it will hit in your child's life in numerous different ways. We expect that our kids will struggle with acting justly. We have twin boys. They will struggle in acting justly because
they were struggling right before we hit the record button.
They were, at 9 months old, we see jealousy already in our kids. Not shocking, you know, that's what siblings do. But like, we want them to act justly. We know at times they will struggle with loving mercy, loving faithfulness. We know at times they will struggle with being humble. And so with that, it really, for us, it served as a good verse. Because as Mary and I looked at our lives, knowing that, hey, odds are our kids are going to struggle with many things that we do, we looked at those three things and we said, yep, the only one that, you know, didn't get hit was dad's inability to be quiet. But everything else, like, we struggle with, could really boil down to those three categories.
Yeah. And it fits along nicely with the other verse that we'll kind of quickly go through just a few minutes is, Ephesians 6:4. And it says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so we have right here that kind of confirmation of Deuteronomy 6, yet again, that this is the pattern that we should have in our homes, that we bring them up, training them in righteousness and in the instruction of the Lord. And how are we going to do that if we don't have the Bible with us? Mm-hmm. And what we really need is some good Christian homes. Mm. We're slowly losing a lot of those in our, not just our churches, but in our country today.
Yeah.
When we have homes that revolutionize what being a Christian looks like by being more biblical, then we'll have a nation that is revolutionized by looking at, you know, why is this family so different from mine? And then we share, you know, not just evangelize the gospel, but we started off by sharing our family verse, our family statement. And I just so many things that can come out of that to where you just, set in your mind today, like, we are going to raise our kids as the Bible prescribes. And is it going to be easy? No, because I'd assume you probably already know that living according to what the Bible says is difficult enough. Yeah. And getting other people involved is even more difficult.
Yeah. And I mean, this one simple verse, we could walk you through where this all fits in. It fits in really well in Paul's argument. As an aside, I love that he just calls out dads in this. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when we look at the country, when we look at churches, the reason they're struggling is not because moms, it's because of dads. Right. It's because frequently dads leave, they stop caring, they get emotionally checked out. And what's interesting is, you know, I think lots of times men, we look at the don't stir up anger and we go, well, that's, you know, ridiculous. But that's an aside statement to what's mm-hmm. really important here. What's really important is bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when you look at both of these Greek terms, you know, the idea is the process, you know, not that we want to be like the Philadelphia 76ers, because they're terrible this year. But we do want to trust the process. You know, we want to trust the 18 years. My kids are not going to become perfect by the time they're five.
Because their dad definitely isn't perfect.
Definitely. Even if, let's say, they get saved at 7 or 8, they're not going to be perfect when they're saved. You know, they're still going to have to work out their salvation for themselves, as Paul would say. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that if we're raising them in a Christian home, you're talking about, let's just say, you know, hypothetically, if we say that we can start really training them, they're going to respond back to us at the age of 5, which I think may be a little late. But if we just say that, that's 13 years of training. That's 13 years that we can pour into our kids. Mm-hmm. That's 13 years straight of them being able to read and understand and respond back to the instruction of God. And I would tell you that that should be 13 years plus then at least 5 years where you're reading God's word to them.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
For our kids, man, we had a bit of a traumatic birth experience. My wife, we had a C-section. Then she like blacks out, passes out, about to die. They're getting bad news. Not a lot of fun for dad. Because of course, first kids didn't know what I was doing. But once we finally made sure Mary was, you know, alive, and I got to go over to them, you know, what you read last week, I should say, the Shema, those were the first words they ever heard from their dad. Mm-hmm. The second set of words, I should say, was Micah 6:8. And no, telling them that as soon as they're born is not going to fix anything.
Right.
But for me, that was significant because I want scripture to be those first and last words all the time that they're hearing in their days, the first and last words they're hearing as they go to school, as they go do different things. And so it was fitting that it would be the first words that they would hear in their life. Because ultimately, as good of words as we can put together, and, you know, Matt and I are both youth pastors, you know, we're paid to put words together. Mm-hmm. As good as we can do, none of them will ever compare at all to the words of the Bible that are God's.
Right.
And as much as, you know, I want to sit here and give my kids a million different sermons on how to live, we just need to get them scripture and then be willing to sit here and answer questions and listen to their questions mm-hmm. and then respond back to them. And here's what that means. Here's what that's going to live out in your life. Because otherwise, you know, we're betting on ourselves. And if I figured out anything in years of ministry, I don't bet on myself. but I do bet on God's word because, you know, he even says, hey, it's not going to return void. And so if we trust that process of giving them God's word daily and giving them God's word multiple times during the day. This is a culture that produces strong believers. Whereas most families, most homes right now are a culture that produces at best a weak believer, but in reality, it produces someone who's highly skeptical, who is un, willing to actually give themselves to the Lord and trust in Him as Lord. It produces a person who just really wants to get out of hell for eternity and doesn't want a relationship with God eternally.
Right. Because honestly, it really all goes back to Scripture, because Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." And will you find that message about Christ in Scripture? Mm-hmm. And so, as we begin to wrap up this episode, man, half an hour sure does fly by when you're having fun.
Oh yeah.
Do you have any kind of quick pointers about what sort of a family verse is for you? And I mean, you obviously chose Micah 6:8, but what are kind of some thought processes that you have that kind of lead that should lead parents to picking a verse that defines their family?
Yeah, I mean, you know, parents, I would tell you, first of all, the cliche, you know, you need to pray about it. Yeah, if you don't have a good prayer life, then man, you really need to start there. Yep. Because otherwise you really don't have the power of the Spirit in your family. That's different for a different day. what I would encourage you, first of all, is be honest with yourself. You know, look at your life and see where you've struggled. You know, that's what Mary and I both did, is we saw, where do our struggles come from? And in identifying those struggles, then we just identified some verses that we felt like spoke to a lot of the struggles in our own lives. Your kids oftentimes deal with the same things you do, just because that's kind of how God works. It's a version of His testing. But when you're looking and you figured out kind of maybe a pool of verses that you're looking at, things you need to look at are what I would call livability. I don't even know if that's a word, Matt, but
it is now.
And livability means this: the ability for the verse to impact your life, the amount of times it could come up in your life, and the amount of times you can see that it's really going to come up in your kids' lives. Mm-hmm. Memorizability. I'm still making up words. But
we've got college degrees. I think we're allowed to do that.
Yeah, it was good for something, right? Mm-hmm. But memorizability is the ability to memorize it. You know, you don't want a passage and a half of Scripture. You don't need 3.5 pages. You know, ours is one verse. You know, it encapsulates everything, and it's easy to memorize. Our kids, once they do gain the ability to speak and memorize Scripture, will have that verse memorized. Mm-hmm. And then connection with the lifestyle of the family as a whole. And that may sound like the first one, but what I really mean in that is this, is that each one of us, our families has a different tenor, a different a way that it seems to be. And so we want to make sure our verse kind of matches that. You know, there's some classic ones. Of course, anyone on this podcast, more than welcome to steal our family verse. I don't mind. I can show you where to buy a really cool sign for your house that has the verbs of it. You know, it's easy to think like, oh, shouldn't I just pick the Shema, or shouldn't I just pick Matthew 28:18-20? And these are good verses. I'm not saying they're bad under any circumstance. I mean, all Scripture is God-breathed. But I would encourage you, you know, we wanted to pick something for us that really identified with us. Hmm. We wanted to pick something for us as well as parents, of like, when our kids are growing up, we want that to be the standard. But we also really looked at it and said, hey, this is what we want our standard to be of who we are. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage parents, yeah, look at those sort of factors in trying to determine, this is, you know, what exactly you want yours to be. Is who is it that you want to be in, you know, 20 years from your first kids? Yep. I say first kid. Most people have one at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people only have one and not, you know, twins.
Yeah. If you're an overachiever, you know, shout out, you're with us. But you know, think about those things. And then, yeah, you know, once you've selected it, just find different ways to incorporate it in your house. When growing up, we had a family verse, and it was legitimately written on the top of the walls in our welcoming hallway. You know, it was, I'd never seen another house with that, but my parents had that same sort of conviction. And so for us, you know, we put it in signs in the house. It's in four or five different spots. It sits over the room where our boys sleep currently, and it'll always be in both of their rooms. If they ever get two rooms, they'll probably keep the same one, but it'll stay where they sleep. It'll stay in places that they can see it regularly.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of episode 2. Tim, you did it. You recorded your first podcast episode.
Woohoo!
Yes, I'm sure your mother is so proud of you.
Well, she did say that I could talk, so
Yeah. Well, and of course, at the end, I always like to give a resource if I find any. And this is actually a book that my pastor suggested that I read, and it has been really good. It is called Family Discipleship with Matt Chandler and Adam Griffin. It talks along the lines of some of the things that we've discussed already, to where you have a mission statement, you have sort of this model to what you bring your family up in, and it is absolutely fascinating to see sort of the kind of the ways that Scripture just saturates, you know, the Christian family life, and especially if you train your kids in righteousness, then this would be a good resource, because it definitely talks about some of the things that Tim and I have in a little bit more detail, but it's a good read. I'm very, very glad that I've gone through it. Of course, I did listen to the audiobook version, but don't tell anybody I said that. Hey, I mean, that time on the road, you can redeem it with anything. Yeah. And so the link to the book will be in the description, just like it was for last week. And also, before we end it, I don't know what I was about to say.
I thought you were about to say clear out, and I was
sorry. Okay. I have no idea. but before we end our time together, let me just say that it doesn't matter if your kids are 9 months old or 19 years old. Having a discipleship plan for your kids doesn't really stop. This is something that hopefully if you start them young, that your kids will live through and through their life, and they'll live it out. But even if you have older kids, this is the perfect time to start showing how important Scripture is in your life. And so take that as you will. Be encouraged that sometimes life doesn't go the way you want to, and it takes a long time for your kids to kind of get on the same page as you. But you know what? All the glory and praise and honor to our Lord, who has opened doors and has closed doors.
Yeah, and if I can say one quick thing on that.
I suppose.
I know. Going over on time already. If you're sitting there and you're like, hey, I don't know how to do this stuff. Like, I don't know how to make a plan of discipleship. Let me just first say, it's not your fault. You know, nobody ever taught you that. Mm-hmm. This is a conviction that I came with as a youth pastor, is that oftentimes in youth ministry, I don't even teach kids how to pick a new church when they go to college, which should be something they need to do. Mm-hmm. And so please, you know, you can of course reach out through the podcast to one of us. We would love to help you. You know where we go to church at, which means you can easily find our emails online and things like that.
Yes.
But, you know, if you go to a church, and go ask your pastor, go ask an associate pastor, your youth pastor, say, hey, been listening to this podcast about discipleship, and I want to disciple my kids, and I need a plan to do that. Because as Matt said, you know, your parenting and your discipleship is going to change as your kids get older. They need different things. But no one expects that you already know how to do that.
Nope.
What we are able to do, what we spent time at seminary doing, is learning how to help you. Mm-hmm. We can't fix everything for you, but we can give you those resources, whether it be books that Matt suggests, I'll suggest some books as well, or just simply like, hey, let's start the process of how to think about this. Yep. These are things that fire us up. We love to do it. I get encouraged when parents ask me about that, and really we're there to help you in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. that is part of our job description. So hopefully this is a not just an encouragement to you, but also it stirs your heart to move in the direction that God has for you and your family. Folks, thank you for listening to episode 2. There are many more to come, Lord willing. And I'm very excited to continue to stretch my brain and look at different things that we have planned. So, Tim, do you have any parting words?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say, hey, be strengthened in the Lord and by his vast strength. That's Ephesians 6:10. Mm-hmm. You know, just take him on and use his strength this week as you parent. Let me encourage you that we are on your side. We are cheering you on and we want to see you succeed.
Yep.
You know, as intimidating as it seems to do these things, oftentimes in whether it be family worship or whether it be putting together a family verse, the hardest part is the first time doing it. Mm-hmm. After that, it gets a whole lot easier because it becomes normal. It becomes part of what you do as a family. So be strengthened by the Lord, and we're on your side.
Oh, absolutely. So thank you for listening, and we will see you all next time. Bye, everyone.